mega cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening.
On Radio Lora 97.5 MHz. You hear us on Radio Stadtfilter 96.3 MHz. DJ Pfaff Zazi and DJ Kufu in the studio, and this time we try to make an international radio show. Hopefully we have some international listeners, because today we have a special.
As always.
As usual.
Mm-hmm. We have a big interview.
Yes. It happened that I had a stay in Stockholm, and it was a bit, I don't know, somehow we just found an offer, and we went with our family to Stockholm for a few days. And when I realized that I'm going to Stockholm, I had already in mind who I would like to meet. And this man who I met is Sven Wunder. And John, the guy behind Piano Records, I met both in Stockholm. And I recorded an interview that's around half an hour long, and as usual, I think that we played the entire interview. And we will listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sounds good.
And first, I have a tune ready from Sven Wunder from his first album. The first album was released, I think, in August 2019. It was called Doguchi Cekleri, limited to 300 copies, and afterwards they made a second release of this album with the title Eastern Flowers. And I'm going to play a tune from this album, from this first album, from the first time that people have heard of Sven Wunder, and the title is called Lily.
So cool.
Thank you.
We're sitting here at Piano Piano Records, and I'm sitting here with Sven Wunder. And actually, I thought that in the beginning we could talk about like your beginnings as Sven Wunder. It was like, the story for me, it was, I just saw somewhere on Facebook or whatever some that you realized those record. I think, is it pronounced right? Toku Chichekleri?
Yes. It sounds all right.
Okay. Yeah. And then I saw it and I thought, oh, that's a record that I need. And it wasn't available anymore, like after 3 months releasing it. So I somehow I did get to John and I wrote him from the label, and he sent me one of his last copies. So yeah, I'm a happy owner of the first edition from this record. Now somehow it was like a mysterious guy, Sven Wunder, releasing this record. But one day John had a weak moment and he wrote me about your real name and and some credits from the record, but they are like not known. I mean, you can't find it on Discogs or something.
No.
How did it happen that you are Sven Wunder?
I want to do something new, and like I usually say that my own name was taken, because I've done a lot of different music to movies and TV series and stuff like that, and then like I didn't really want a band name. I'm not really into band names, so it would be nice with a alias, just with another straight up name. And we thought about this name for a while, and it sounds nice. And we just went for it. Didn't like plan too much about the name. So it's just nice with a alias.
Mm-hmm.
It's refreshing to, like, you have a new start, like a new person or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the first thing that you did as Sven Wunder was this Toku Chichekleri record. How did this happen? I mean, why didn't you start with a 45, or why did you start directly with an album?
I had been into, like, as I said, I worked a lot with music for film and TV series and stuff like that. And I had a very intense work spring in 2018 it was, and then I went like, now my holiday summer starts, and then you get, like, you always have a wave of work. You can work very hard because you've been into an intense period, and then you have holiday, and it's you have a couple of weeks there until you get like in holiday mode. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I could do I didn't have anything planned, and so I could do record some songs. And then I started to write the songs that later appeared on the records, and I did the whole the like foundation, the structures of the album, I did in a couple of weeks. So it was like really free time and inspiration, and like I just realized that I could record songs that I actually like listen to myself, and like I could record music that I enjoy myself. Sounds easy, but it's sometimes you forget to do it like that. So that was a starting point. And I also got in touch with a couple of musicians that played in this style, this more like Eastern culture. And then I could write specific parts for those specific players, so that helped a lot during that record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somehow, yeah, as you mentioned, you must have the musicians, the right musicians. Was that they were just around in Stockholm, or how did you find
them? Yeah, the most of them are old buddies of mine. Like I've been recording, they're like a bunch of best friends of mine. And it's the same musicians on almost everything I've done, like drum, bass, guitar, keys, piano. All of those are the same people on all of the records. But then maybe the top sprinkle, what you can say, has changed a bit during, like if it's a different theme on a different record and so. But yeah, so most of them are like old friends of mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. And on this record, Doku Čiče Kléry, there was like it was mentioned on Discogs that there was one song that it's a cover version from an inspired by. I don't know. It's a bit hard to say because I've listened to the original and it sounds quite similar. Wait a second. It's called Hamlet Minasyan Al Elnim. It's called the song, an Armenian song. And this Hyacinth, your tune. It was really inspired by this tune. I mean, if I listen to it.
Yeah.
Are there other songs? They are like cover versions or inspired by other songs as well, or is it the only one?
We did a cover session for, I don't remember what was the name of that, John? Like the Aquarian Drunkard.
Yeah, Rianse.
Yeah, exactly. I remember the name of the songs, but not what paper it was for. But those were two cover songs, Japanese traditional songs. So they were cover songs. Minasian, it's not a cover, but it's a bit of the groove is inspired by that, I would say.
Inspired by,
yeah. But no, it's not really nothing too obvious, I think. Of course, it's like you listen to a lot of different, I listen to a lot of different music, so always some things zipper into your consciousness and maybe appears in some form.
Yeah, of course, but
not directly cover versions.
No,
like okay.
But it was I liked the flow and the rhythmic forwardness of that song, disco style.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that I'm missing, you've released, I think, 145 with songs from this record on Mr. Bongo.
Okay.
And I miss this song on it because I played on parties. The Hyacinth.
And
it works really well.
People
dance to it like crazy. It's a good number.
I always play the Minasian song at parties.
Yeah.
That works fine as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For me, it's my favorite. Yeah.
Okay. Lovely.
Yeah. And then you went on, I think, the Torianse 45 was released before your second album.
Yeah, it was. We had recorded... The Wabi Sabi record was already recorded and it was almost already done as well. So actually we had recorded... We had started recording the third record, and then I recorded at the same time as I did that. I did the Torianse Sakura cover, but it was released in a different segment because it 7-inch at that period was really easy to get them out. You could just send it to print and you had it like a month later. So it was the Wabi Sabi record was already done, but it was released later.
What was it originally meant to be on this record?
The Tori Jensen? Yeah. No, it was just a separate thing because the Aquarium Drunkard reached out and like, do you want to do a cover version of some sort? And then I said, first I said, I don't know what to do, but then I have a sketch of a version of that Tori Jensen, because I found a recording of with a choir who sang that song, and then I did just a fast sketch when I put that some drums at that to that choir, and this it could be a real nice song, and then I developed it after that. But that was just in the draw, like a sketchbook thing. So it was not planned to be on that that record, but it was
But then we decided to release it since we thought they're too good to end up just being on a blog or a website. So that's why it became a 45 release, and that's the first 45 release we made. But it contained the same drums as Barocco Manon Troppo on Natura Morta, right? The bass of Sakura.
Yeah.
So it was at the same time, so it was like a rework from that.
And is it like you've released now several 45s already? Sometimes they sound like they might fit on one of your albums. Is it like songs that were like recorded for the album but released separately, or
it's a bit like, because I really like to do the sevens because it's such a short period of work. Like an album is really heavy to do because then it's, you want to have like a unity of the songs, and it takes more time to write, obviously, the 13 songs instead of 2 songs. So I like the pace of just like, I would like to do a sitar song, and then I can do it two of those, and like you're done in a couple of weeks instead of 1 year or something. So I think the 45 sounds a bit different, but they could absolutely work on a record as well. And I think they we have just finished my fourth my fourth upcoming album, and that actually include a couple of songs from earlier sevens. So it will I think it's, we don't have like a policy to not release it again. So it could be used if it fits in the album form as well.
Now your first album was inspired by Anatolian music or Armenian music and whatever. The second one by Asian music. Some songs are a bit, I don't know, for my taste, they sound a bit, I would say, a bit cheesy, or I don't know, with this scyther, and you know, like, they sound a bit, okay, we have to sound Asian a bit, I don't know.
Okay.
It's like my impression.
Okay.
I mean, some songs I adore on this album, and some songs are already like a preview for the next album. Are really like already in this, a bit in this library style, or recorded. And then the third album, Natura Morta, I think it was mentioned as well that you have combined like the Italian library sound, like with those funky drums and everything, with classical music, which is a, I would say for me it's a combination that I've never heard before. It's something really special. How did you come up with this idea?
This is like, I think it's the closest to the music I prefer making. It's like, it's like straight up soundtrack music, I would say. A lot of the songs, at least, like a lot of melodies, a lot of chords, and a lot of that structure. And me, I'm like a huge fan of soundtrack music from 70s, 60s, 70s, and I've listened a lot to that period and that style of music. So it's, for me, it's, that's the most natural habitat for me, I would say. So I've heard a lot of music sound a bit like my record, but so there's music out there, and I think that record is a lot of reference to that scene, and it's my celebration to that field of music, I would say.
That's what Joel mentioned before, that he restores some covers sometimes for Sonor music. That's the story of this guy whose name is, what is the guy called from Sonor music?
Lorenzo
Fabrizi, yeah.
Who runs the label.
He was a, I don't know, he found some storage somewhere with 10,000 of library records, I don't know. And then he listened to them and he said, oh, there's really good stuff. And he started to releasing some reissues, as much as I've heard. And I think was it like did you get to this music by this way, or
not by him, but like for me it started with, I think it started more with like Ennio Morricone and that field, and like watched the movies and like researched more songs and more records from him. And then you find the other guys in this field, like the guy who orchestrated his work, and the guys who he recorded with, and then it just the snowball is, you know, on a roll after that. And then there's a lot of lovely music from that period, region, especially from Rome during this period. But for me it started with the Morricone stuff.
And you have a big record collection by yourself?
Big is a vague term. I buy quite a lot of records.
Mainly old records?
Yeah, I would say that. I've been little better the last year. I bought, trying to stay a bit up to date, but otherwise it's a disaster in modernizing. It's mainly from 79 and backwards. It's I'm not done with that period yet.
Yeah, you never will be.
No, maybe not. But I feel like starting to, especially like Bollywood records, for example, like in the 80s, it's there's a lot of things to find out there as well. So I've been listening to that lately. I've been listening a lot to that, for example. So yeah, 80s will come, and then maybe early 90s.
And you find your records in record stores in Stockholm, or where do you find your records?
I buy a lot on Discogs, but then I have there's a lot of nice shops here in Stockholm as well. It's a combination of that, and I also know a couple of dealers that I buy privately from. It's a cocktail for abuse.
And you already said that you compose music. Do you work full-time as a musician?
I work full-time as a composer. So I work, like my everyday job is that I make music for movies and TV. And then I do the all the Sven stuff on the side of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's like I work as a composer, I could say.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get this musician? In one movie on Piano Piano Records, you mentioned that your father was a jazz drummer.
Yeah.
So, your parents supported you to get a musician, or?
No, yeah, I started as a musician. I studied double bass during my school years, mm-hmm. and then I played that, and then I started freelance as a double bass player, and I played jazz music, and then I started to record some music on the side, and that found its way into. Because I did only instrumental music back then as well, and then it started to find places in different TV related media, and then I could start to work more and more with that. So then I started to play less bass, and now I play no bass at all, and just do the. Yeah, record music and produce music instead.
Mm-hmm. What instruments do you play?
I play a couple of instruments, but when I write all the songs, then I do it on the piano most of the time. But like my main instrument is double bass still. But it's... these days I play more piano, I would say.
Yeah. Mm. And now if you say, okay, let's record an album, how is the recording or the producing progress of this album? First you write, you just write the music.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Yeah, I usually write, like, if it's for an album, I try to write, let's say it's 10 songs done and end up on an album. I try to do at least 15 or 20 songs, because I know that some of them will not be as good as the rest. And then also leave some free time in the studio to, like, let's just record a groove or something like that. And then sometimes it's very well organized, like I know it will be a string part over this, and over this I know it will be a flute thing. But and there are also some cases where I've just recorded bass and drums, and then I've recorded like a lot of instruments over that. So it depends.
Like with overdubs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Especially with the strings, I always do that as an overdub, because it's too expensive to sit with a drum and bass and